Now, time to check in with the Friday Night Lights and Chicago Radio's only prep football scores, stats, and stories program on 720 WGN. This is Preps Plus Chicago with your host, Sam Panionovich.
Away we go. It's week 7 already. Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN. I did want to start with breaking news, Rob. Glenbrook South Titans 0-7. And they lost, of all teams.
Don't say it.
You may want to start a brawl in the newsroom. They lost to Roger Badish's Evanston Wildcats.
Go Wildcats. Yeah, baby.
Now, when I was a senior in high school, we went into Evanston. They were heavily favored. Mm-hmm. And we came out with the 9-7 win. The difference was a safety that I was in on. This is unacceptable.
I'm telling you, we need Martier to go down and crack some heads. Put the helmet on.
I'm putting the pads back on. Now, they might not fit as they used to, but I'm putting them back on anyway.
I don't think you need pads. These kids are 17 and 18. You should be able to handle them.
You would be an inspiration to
Unbelievable.
That team.
All right, be quiet over there.
All right. Okay, yeah. Cut Badish's mic. That's enough. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. You help us, we help you. We've already got some texts in here. West Aurora is 7-0. We'll talk about a bunch of teams that are 7-0. You know the deal, though. You help us, and we help you. And look who's in the co-pilot seat. He used to tabulate with us. Mike Jacobson is back on Preps Plus.
Tabulating the scores once again, Sammy P. Thanks for having me back. It's like the old band's back together a little bit. No Kevin Powell, but it's nice to be in this warm studio. I'm usually in the cold producer booth back there. So
yeah, so it's good to have you back. Joey Gelman running the wheels per usual. We will talk to the head coach of Oak Park. They are ranked number 10. The Huskies are coached by John Hurster, who used to coach me, also taught AP English 3 and had young Sam in one of his classes. So,
but not in the AP class, right?
I was in the AP
class. Oh, you were in the AP
class. I still haven't read Life of Pi, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
It's kind of surprising.
17 of the top 20 teams in the Tribune Top 20 in action. Tonight we've got matchups. Number 12, Hinsdale Central at number 9, Lions. We will also talk to reporters. Number 13, Fenwick against Providence. Number 15, Maine South against New Trier. And then we'll also dive into something rather quickly with Mike Clark, who's standing by here. There's a looming strike in Chicago public schools, and that is something that will just devastate so many young kids because if you're on a team that has playoff potential, 5-6 wins, maybe 7 or 8 wins by the end of the season, there might be a chance that you don't get to play in the postseason, which would just devastate so many young kids. So without further ado, let's lead off the show like we always do. We'll bring in Mike Clark. Let's start with the game, Mike. A real doozy, a real close one between Simeon and Dunbar, 53-0. Did they even leave the locker room?
Yeah, they're kind of in a rebuilding mode. They lost their longtime coach Glenn Johnson after last season, and they're just not ready to compete with Simeon or some of the top teams in the public league right now.
So, more importantly, and this goes beyond box scores and standings and all that, in the Chicago public school system, as you know, and you've written about this, you guys have all chronicled it all season long. There's a strike in CPS that seems to be inevitable. What would be the contingency plan if said strike does go into play?
Well, it all depends on how long it's going to last. If it ends quickly, like within a day or two, then basically nothing happens in terms of CPS teams qualifying for the playoffs. If it goes past 2 or 3 days, that's where it gets sticky because they're going to have to it's almost going to be impossible to play all the Week 8 games if the strike goes on until like next Thursday or Friday because some of the Week 8 games are scheduled for Thursday. So then maybe you miss a week's worth of games and then you play Week 9 games. So there's still a possibility, obviously. A few teams have actually already qualified, with 7 wins or 6 wins. But the other sticking point is if the strike goes, say, into Week 9 and they can't play those Week 9 games, then it's really going to be interesting because there's a rule that the IHSA has that you have to play 8 games to qualify for the playoffs. Now, that would knock out even the teams that might be 7-0 right now, which really doesn't seem fair. So I talked to Craig Anderson, the IHSA executive director. He said he cannot waive that rule by himself, but there's going to be a IHSA board meeting next week, and they're probably going to talk about that. And the fair thing to do is to waive that 8-game rule because all these teams scheduled 9 games, you know, it's not their fault that they may not be able to play that many games.
And it's about the kids. I mean, let the kids play. Like you said, if they go 7-0 and then their dreams get crushed of playing in a state tournament because, you know, so many people can't get what they want higher than them. I mean, we're looking at right now, the teachers union in Chicago has set next Tuesday as a strike date. And I know you said it could go a day, it could go 2 days. Mike, this is Chicago. Nothing gets solved in a day or two anymore.
No, the last strike, you know, did wipe out 1 week's worth of games. I've talked to some of the CPS kids this week, some of the kids at Simeon, some kids at Phillips. I mean, you know, this is really a tough situation. I mean, you know, one of the other aspects here is some of these kids are relying on getting seen, you know, late
scholarships,
season games.
College.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, they're looking to get more tape to get scholarships to get, you know, to better their lives, obviously. So, I mean, you know, and it's not even just about football. I mean, it's about, you know, education as well. You know, I mean, these kids want to be in school, so hopefully they can get it figured out.
Last thing, let's play worst case scenario here. If this strike, if it happens next Tuesday and it stretches through Thanksgiving, what happens to the playoffs? What happens to the public teams that would have qualified for the playoffs? No luck, no dice?
Right. Well, I mean, the other thing that could happen is Steve Soucy, the Kankakee Journal sports editor who figures these things out better than anybody else does, you know, he looks at the playoff scenarios, and basically what it comes down to is if the public league teams don't get in the playoffs, it's probably about 15, 16 teams we're talking about, and what's going to happen is that means there's going to be another 15 or 16 teams that have to get in. Some of them are going to be 5-4 teams, but we could have 4-5 teams in the playoffs, which, you know, it's happened like rarely in the past. It has happened, not very often, but I mean, we're looking at maybe 4-5 teams in, which I don't know that anybody wants to see either.
That's Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Clark Preps. Great coverage. You're all over the stuff here for a possible CPS strike. The final score tonight that you covered, Simeon 53, Dunbar nothing. But you know, these stories go beyond the box score for sure, and we're glad you're here to break it down. Thank you.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next week, guys.
You got it. Week 8 coming up. It's crazy. Crazy to think we're already 7 weeks into the season. Without further ado, let's get our first check of the scores with Mike Jacobson.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
We'll keep it in the Trip Top 20 here, Sam. Perhaps the matchup of the week turned out to be a pretty good one. Number 12, Hinsdale Central at number 9, Lions. Central gets the victory, 28-21. Moving on, top-ranked Loyola. They moved to 7-0, crushing Leno 51-8. Number 2, Homewood Flossmoore, rolling Thornridge 50-6. Number 3, unbeaten Brother Rice was up 56-0 at the half over St. Joseph. They went on to win 63-7. Quarterback Dino Borelli breaking the school record for touchdown passes, Sammy. 7.
Ooh.
All in the first half.
All in the first half.
That's pretty good.
Ideally, you'd take him out at half.
I would think so. Fourth-ranked Lincoln Way East, 64. Sandberg, 14. Number 5, Neuqua Valley, 31. Wheaton North, 17. To the northwest suburb, 6th-ranked Palatine. They win big over Conant, 43-7. Elsewhere, Prairie Ridge trouncing Hampshire, 61-6. Downers Grove North beats Downer Grove South, 21-0. 11th, Marist getting by Nazareth, 44-14. Number 13, Fenwick holding off Providence, 35-28. Number 15, Maine South, drops a close one to unranked New Trier. So a little bit of an upset there.
Wow.
27-21. Now, New Trier was just out of the top 20. So it's not that big of an upset, but definitely notable. So again, New Trier knocking off Maine South, 27-21.
I think that snapped like a 70-plus conference win streak for Maine South.
77 games.
77.
77 games.
Snapped.
Just came by.
Wow.
Big deal. 17th-ranked St. Charles East, 55. Larkin, 15. 19th-ranked Naperville North. They knock off in-town rival Naperville Central, 50-31, the final there. And rounding out the top 20, number 20, Cary Grove. Victory over Crystal Lake South pretty easily in a blowout, 59-0. Don't forget, you can get all the scores right at our website, WGNRadio.com. See it right there at the top of the homepage on the banner. I'm Mike Jacobson.
Thanks, Michael. John Hurster, head coach of number 10, Oak Park, will join us after a quick timeout on Preps Plus. The push for the pennant begins tonight. Count on your Cubs TV station, WGN, for complete news and sports coverage throughout the playoffs. Watch WGN TV for everything Cubs this October.
Back to the Friday Night Lights and Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
1022, greatest city in the world, Preps Plus on WGN Radio, the home of the Blackhawks. Regular season finally gets underway next Wednesday, and make sure you join us there. All the games this season on 720 WGN and the home of high school football on Friday nights. The only place to talk Chicagoland high school football. And it's an honor for me to bring back a return guest now on Preps Plus, a man who I met when I was about 14 years old in the hallways of Mount Carmel High School. He's now the head coach of Oak Park. The Huskies are ranked number 10. They play number 14, Glenbard West, tomorrow at 1:30. He is John Hurster, and he joins us now on WGN. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
How you doing, Sam? Good to hear from you again.
No doubt. Now, it's strange to me. And coaches can dress it up as much as they want. Football players are creatures of habit. What's it like to have your team play on Saturday when usually it's about the Friday night lights?
Well, you know, we love playing on Fridays. You know, that's when we play our home games. But it's actually kind of nice to get a Saturday game in, change up the routine a little bit, give them something a little different. And at the end of the day, hopefully, you know, knock on wood down the line, when you get into the playoffs, usually you got a Saturday game you got to get ready for. So it's nice to kind of get into that routine.
The West Suburban Silver is just a dogfight this year. I'm looking at you guys, Oak Park, Lions, Hinsdale Central, all 6-0 coming into today. And then Glenbard West, no cupcake by any means. You play them tomorrow. They are 4-2. This has to be the toughest it's been since you've been there at Oak Park.
Well, you know, I feel very fortunate to play in the West Suburban Silver. We play some great competition week in and week out. Like you said, there's some really phenomenal teams this season and some great coaches and great players across the board. So we just feel really fortunate that we get to play in a competitive conference like this and really helps us get better week in and week out.
Your first season, 2011, you took over a team that went 2-7. Last season, you guys won 9 games. Right now, 6-0. What's been the biggest challenge for you? What was the biggest challenge when you came in and took over a team that needed to be rebuilt?
Well, the biggest, you know, what we really wanted to do when we got to Oak Park is just to get people excited about football again and get kids in the hallway excited about football. And, you know, we always knew that there were great football players walking the hallways at Oak Park and creating a culture and a program that got the kids excited to play and got a great coaching staff together that really does a great job of keeping things fun at practice and competitive, but, you know, making sure that the kids are putting in a situation that they can play loose and fast and have some fun.
What's the best part about your job?
Oh, my gosh. How long do I have?
You got as long as you need.
You know, I have the best job in the world, Sam. And I think you can remember back when I was teaching you at Mount Carmel, the opportunity to be a high school English teacher and get to sit around and talk about books all day with kids and not have to spend too much time with adults. And then I get to, after school, run out in the football field and run around and have fun with kids who are really passionate about what they do. You know, I had to work tonight, and my job consisted of driving out to LaGrange and watching a high school football game with some coaches that I'm really good friends with. So I have a great job. You know, we preach it to the kids because what we would really love is for the kids to come back and coach with us. It's a very rewarding job, but it's a lot of fun as well.
You spent a lot of time under Frank Lenti at Carmel, and I had him on a couple years ago, and he said, look out for John Hurster. He said that he was very lucky to have you on his staff because he knew one day that you would take something and make it your own. Is that what you've been able to do? Because this is your program, though. You're no longer an assistant. You're the guy, and it's your staff and your players. How important is it that you have your own thing?
Well, it's, you know, I am so grateful to the opportunity that Frank gave me at Mount Carmel and not just Frank, but, you know, the rest of the guys on that coaching staff. I learned so much about the game of football and, you know, how to go about things and how to work with kids and how to prepare and game plan and organize your week. And, you know, I was able to get into a great situation at Oak Park, and it's a community I believe in. It's a community where I live. I can walk to work. I know the kids in the neighborhood. So it's a special place for me because my kids, I have 3 young kids, and they're a big part of the games on Friday nights, and they get excited about it. And, you know, just to be able to kind of create a culture that fits your personality and getting the opportunity to work with some tremendous kids, it's just it's been really special, and I feel really privileged to have the opportunity to be a head coach at Oak Park and River Forest High School.
He's John Hurster, head coach of number 10 Oak Park. The Huskies undefeated. They play tomorrow at Glenbard West. Saturday, that's a 1:30 kick. Who are some of the guys that have made waves for you this year? Who are some players that are carrying the boat, but also maybe some other guys that you didn't expect to step up this season?
Well, you know, for us on the offensive side of the ball, it really starts with our quarterback, Jeremy Hunt, who, last season was having a great year as a junior. We were undefeated with him back there at quarterback and beat some really good teams. We have, as a junior, opens up against Lincoln Way East and does a tremendous job and takes us undefeated. And against York, has a really terrible injury that knocks him out for the rest of the season. And he did such an amazing job dealing with that adversity and coming back stronger and smarter and ready to take over. And he's done an amazing job for us at that quarterback spot, which, you know, I really asked our quarterbacks to do a tremendous amount of things back there. And he just has such a great knowledge of the game and paired up with his physical abilities as well. He does some great things for us. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Roland Sturkey, who is our middle linebacker, is one of those kids who's been, I feel like he's been with me forever. He was a starter as a sophomore where we played him at outside linebacker. As a junior, we moved him to free safety. And as a senior, we moved him to Mike linebacker. And he's just a tremendous, tremendous athlete, tremendous football player, great mind for the game. He's able to pick up different positions overnight. And he's really been the heart and soul of our defense. Those two guys, you know, surrounded by a bunch of other great, great players, have made this year really, really a fun year for me.
I got one or two more questions for you. John Hurster, head coach of Oak Park. Is it Oak Park or is it Oak Park River Forest? Because I keep hearing one and then I hear the other. Which, can you set the record straight for me?
Yeah, I will do that for you, Sam. It is Oak Park and River Forest High School.
Okay, so it's Oak Park and
We have the benefit of two great areas. We have the Oak Park area and the River Forest area, and it's a great combination of kids that come together, and it's a pretty cool thing.
I tell the mayor of River Forest that I apologize sincerely. Oak Park and River Forest. I wanted to ask you about this because you know this better than anybody. You've coached at the private level. You've coached now at the public level. Your father, the late, great, the legendary John Hurster, the field is named after him at Loyola. What do you think about the possibility of the IHSA splitting down the middle, a public state tournament and a private state tournament?
You know, I'll tell you, I just, you know, I've spent so many years working at not only Mount Carmel, but Loyola as well. And then going to school at York High School in Elmhurst and now coaching at Oak Park. And, you know, there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle. But, you know, what it comes down to for me is I just think it would be a shame to have, you know, the kids, all these kids across the state of Illinois, not have an opportunity to compete against each other. And find a way to make it work. It just, you know, I love the opportunity from a public standpoint to be able to have the opportunity to play the private schools. And I know that when I was at Mount Carmel, we got excited to play the public schools. It would seem to take something away from the fabric of the game, the high school football game, to separate it like that.
That's a fair point. You can't argue with anything there. John Hurster, the head coach of Oak Park and River Forest High School. The Huskies rated number 10 in the top 20. They play on the road, a tough test at number 14, Glenbard West, tomorrow at 1:30. Good luck in that game, and good luck. I know you're going to get a championship soon, whether it's this year or next year or the next year. I know you're going to get one soon. So thanks for coming on, and all the best.
Sam, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the kind words. You guys are doing a great job, and you're doing a great job. I'm proud of you, Sam. Good to talk to you.
All right, Coach. Take care. It's John Hurster, head coach of number 10, Oak Park and River Forest. We're a little bit late to news, and I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that Javi Baez just hit a home run in the bottom of the eighth. Cubs lead the Giants 1-0. 720 WGN.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago. Scoreboard.
With your latest check of the scores, here is Mike Jacobson.
All right, thank you, Sammy. To start off, we'll keep it in the Trib Top 20, the biggest matchup, perhaps, on this Friday night of Friday Lights. Number 12, Hinsdale Central. At number 9, Lions Central getting the victory 28-21. We're going to get more from the Tribune's Mike Helfcott after this update here in just a few minutes. Top-ranked Loyola, they remain unbeaten, crushing Leno 51-8. Number 2, Homewood Flossmoor rolling Thornridge 50-7. Number 3, Brother Rice now 7-0. They win it 63-7. Quarterback Dino Borelli, have to say this again, breaking the school record for the touchdown passes in a game with 7. All in the first half. Pretty impressive. Fourth-ranked Lincoln Way East 64, Sandberg 14. Number 5, Neuqua Valley 31, Wheaton North 17. Sixth-ranked Palatine, they win it over rival Conant 43-7. And number 7, Barrington survives against Hoffman Estates 35-28. Elsewhere, 11th, Marist getting by Nazareth 44-14. Number 13, Fenwick holding off Providence. Final there was 35-28. Number 15, Maine South. They dropped a close one to unranked New Trier, so a little bit of an upset there. Final, 27-21. 19th-ranked Naperville North, they knock off their in-town rival, Naperville Central, 50-31. Outside of the top 20, few more scores for you. Cary Grove shuts out Crystal Lake South, 59-0. Mount Carmel, Sam Panionovich's alum, 56. De La Salle, 6.
Ooh.
Montini over to Paul Prep, 39-0. Glenburg North, they blank Lake Park, 51-0. St. Ignatius, 34. Aurora Christian, 24.
They are 6-1, St. Ignatius.
6-1?
The Wolfpack.
Roll it.
Ow!
Ow! West Aurora, 48. West Chicago, 6. Bennett Academy, 38. Over Joliet Catholic, 21. So 38-21. Joliet Catholic Hilltoppers now, Sammy. 0-7 on the year.
Unbelievable.
Did you ever think that they would fall off that way?
13-time state champs.
And with 3 seconds left, nice story here, Stevenson kicked a 30-yard field goal to win it. The final, Stevenson 17, Lake Zurich 14. And another big tilt this weekend. It takes place tomorrow. We just talked to the head coach of the Huskies, 10th-ranked Oak Park, visiting number 14, Gledbard West. Keep an eye on that one. You can get all the high school scores right at our front page of our website, WGNradio.com. I'm Mike Jacobson.
Thank you, Michael. As we tag in another Michael. Mike Helfcott from the Chicago Tribune, the lead preps writer, brought to you by Lou Malnati, some of Chicago's deep dish pizza. Find one of 40-plus locations in Chicagoland or order online at loumalnatis.com. A good one for you, Coach, in the West Suburban Silver, 28-21. Hinsdale Central, the Red Devils are 7-0.
That's right. They were up 21-0. Looked like they were about to cruise to a win. Lions got kind of a fluky long touchdown, blocked a punt for a second touchdown. Got a third touchdown all in the span of about 7 minutes. Then Hinsdale Central had a long drive to win the game 28-21.
You know, you and I talk year after year, and it's easy to do this because the Chicago Catholic League Blue and the DVC, they're always very strong. But this West Suburban Silver this year, Mike, when you look at the two teams you saw today, Hinsdale Central, Lions, Oak Park and River Forest, Glenbard West, those four teams are no slackers by any means.
Oh, absolutely. Great conference year in and year out. I think, when you want to judge an overall conference, you want to look to the playoffs, though, when you want to compare it to other conferences. And in recent years, other than West, we haven't seen a whole lot of playoff success. I mean, they win playoff games, but we haven't seen a whole lot of, semifinal runs out of these other teams, which is why I think we talk more about the other conferences.
You wrote this morning, you wrote it yesterday, it was on the paper this morning, about the reanimated rivalry between Hinsdale Central and Lions. But another rivalry that I think is kind of under the radar in the West Suburban Silver, that's the game tomorrow. You've got Oak Park at Glenbard West, a desperate Hilltoppers team. Glenbard West, the hitters do not want to fall to 4-3. What can we expect to see tomorrow?
I'm always surprised when Glenbard West doesn't win. So I think somehow, some way, they break this unusual losing streak they're on and win that game. But, those are two great programs. Certainly that game could go either way.
We had John Hurster on, head coach of Oak Park and River Forest, and I thought he was the perfect person to ask about the public and private split because his father, the legendary John Hurster, coached at Loyola. The coach John, who I had in high school, spent time at Mount Carmel, and now the head guy at Oak Park. And I think what he said is probably the best response I got all year, is that you're just taking away the competition. If they do potentially split public and private, you're robbing these high school football fans of the best games. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, from a pure competition standpoint, you absolutely want to just see the best teams play each other. You know, there's a lot more to this than that, as, you know, we've discussed. But I definitely understand that point, sure.
I feel for these kids in Chicago Public Schools. Your colleague Mike Clark talked about it. You know, the teachers union in Chicago is planning to strike on Tuesday. Hopefully it doesn't go through the postseason, but there could be a chance that if it does stretch through weeks 8 and 9, that you'll have some 7-0 teams in public league don't get to go to the playoffs because you have to play 8 games. I feel for the kids. You know, it's all about the adults, you know, bickering back and forth, but I just feel for these kids that might not get to play football. You know, scholarships on the line, college futures on the line, and it's because a bunch of adults can't get together.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Mike, I think, did a real nice job reporting his column this week that, you know, the IHSA, there happens to be a board meeting on Wednesday. So, and this is all Mike's reporting, that, you know, they may be able to do something. The IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson said it is something that will be discussed. So hopefully, you know, if there is a strike, hopefully it's short, and hopefully the IHSA can do something to get those kids back in the playoffs. And in the college scholarship angle, you hear that a lot. You hear that a lot when there's strikes. You hear that whenever there's something going on in basketball. You know, when the Morgan Park gym was too small, whatever. College recruiting is so sophisticated. I really don't think that loss of games ever costs kids a scholarship.
So you think that if the strike is to go into play on Tuesday, you think it's more short than it would be? You think it's going to be settled quicker than many people think?
Well, it sounds like there's some optimism, no? I mean, maybe I just haven't – maybe there are new things out today. But what I seem to, you know, see the last few days was – there seemed to be some optimism that it could be a short strike.
Who leads the Helfgott Heisman right now? Is it Ricky Smalling still, Brother Rice?
Well, Ricky Smalling certainly had his Helfgott Heisman moment last week. I don't know if you saw that, the highlight of that touchdown against Mount Carmel.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah.
I mean, that was really something. That's worth, you know, that's easily YouTubeable, and that's worth, you know, to the six people that aren't watching or listening to the Cubs game right now, that's certainly worth looking up on YouTube.
Hey, my family's listening. Come on, I got more than six people in the family. The Cubs win, by the way.
Right.
Cubs win 1-0. Last question. I'll let you get out. You can listen to whatever you want to listen to on the way home.
You guys, are you getting me what I want to listen to?
More surprising, JCA being 0-7 or Maine South's 77-game conference win streak snapped. What's more surprising?
JCA being 0-7, although this is the first year and probably – 3 or 4 that I haven't hyped up that streak and talked about how New Trier or Glenbrook South was going to beat him. This is the first year I let up on that, and there you go.
Somebody told me that went to JCA a couple days ago. He said, yeah, you know, the Hilltoppers are 0-6. And I said, no, they're not. And he said, yeah, they're 0-6. That's never happened. I can't remember JCA, 13-time state champ, falling to 0-7. That's unreal. Why? Any idea?
Well, the schools, I think, hit some hard times in terms of enrollment. They're just not. They just don't have the numbers they used to. But did that mean, oh, I thought, saw 0-7 coming? I mean, absolutely not.
Yeah, no way. Well, we will read your stuff every Friday, Saturday. We'll take care of the business we have to do, brought to you by Lou Malnati's. He is the lead writer. He's our Preps Plus Prize on Twitter, at MHelfgott. Coach, we'll talk to you in week 8. Thank you, as always.
Coach, thank you.
Mike Helfgott from the Chicago Tribune. We may call an audible here. We may have to go into some True Blue Playoff Plus.
I think we're going to have to. Cubs with a 1-0 victory. Bottom of the 8th, Javi Baez, solo shots, all they needed. It was quite a pitcher's duel between John Lester and Johnny Cueto. I mean, Lester, they both go 8 innings. Lester just gives up 5 hits. Cueto just 3. Cueto had 10 Ks. But they're waving the flag over at Wrigley Field, so the W flag is a waving. 1-0.
His dad is such an anti Cub fan. He said if those Cubs didn't have those baskets, they'd be the worst team in the league.
Let me tell you.
So let's do this.
Have those baskets.
Executive decision. We'll come back. We'll do our final scoreboard. We'll breeze through that, and then we'll bring in Adam Hogue and Andy Mazur. True Blue Playoff Plus. This is Preps Plus for another couple of minutes on 720 WGN.